The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they should put a smile on your face with everything else that's going on in the world. Perhaps sound effects that will put a smile on your face are just worthwhile to listen to, right? The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. It's a lot closer today than it was yesterday. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Probably won't, but we could if we decide to be doers of the word, like Jesus said, and build our the foundation on a rock instead of on sand, which is when we're just hearers of the word. Humor, by the way, that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. And we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That process, that element, you know, like when you go to church and you come out of church and it's great and it's great service and man, the Lord touched you and the worship was good and the word was good and it was all good and the fellowship was good and you get in the car and you drive and somebody goes and cuts you right off. That moment, from that moment on, that's what we're talking about. Here's the bottom line. Maybe you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question. And we would encourage you to participate with us. We don't want you to let that die of loneliness. Here's all you need to do. And it could be a praise report, a prayer request. What a great praise report we had yesterday from Samson. So there's some great things that have taken place in the Christian community in Texas. You think, well, why aren't you saying Dallas or Fort Worth or Irving? I don't know, because we're in Texas. That's why I'm saying Texas. Here's the bottom line. You can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you do that, awesome, 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 Jennifer will answer the phone.
That's me.
I give you three awesome.
I heard. Thank you.
That's because it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, so tomorrow I'll get four?
Probably not.
No, and okay. Thanks.
And then you just get to talk to her, and then she brings you over to me, and, you know, then it's all like whatever happens, happens. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. That, by the way, leads us to the website, and that's important for a couple of reasons. There's video encouragement. There's audio encouragement. There's different sayings, different things, different pictures. Gives you a feel for what the show is about and some of the connections. I even have old sermons. I was looking at it and saw that one of the sermons that was on there is almost from 25 years ago. I'm not going to say how old I am. That just made me feel old. Anyhow, all you got to do to check that out, plus, by the way, that is a great place to give. As you'll see on the website, it says give here, give here, give here. Just go to hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. Now, as you know, when we do our first section, I don't do the trivia yet. So we'll be doing trivia in the next segment. But I did want to say something. I forgot to answer the last trivia question. as we were exiting, I was kind of getting into it. And sometimes I get into this role at the very end or some other time, and I just, it's just like a space. You know, I just like, day, 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 day. And so I did want to answer the question. So I did not do a very good job. I asked, though, from a trivia point of view, how did the people respond when Jesus said that the little girl was asleep and not dead? How did the people respond? And the answer was that they laughed at him or they mocked him. They actually, you could interpret that they mocked would be the real way, or they sneered at him. And so that was the answer, and I forgot to give it, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry. Okay. That just happens. Just like that Steve Martin thing where they said, why don't you pay taxes for 20 years? He says, I forgot. That's all it takes. All right. We're going right in because there's nowhere else to go into the Psalms. We are on Wednesdays. We do Psalms, and then I try to take like an old sermon and kind of pull it all together. So we're in Psalm 5. For those that are following along, and if not, then you can just listen. And if I read it wrong, I promise you somebody will call in and say something. So here we go. We're starting with, we're in Psalm 5, and we're at actually verse 4. And I'll read the first three to give you the buildup, and then we'll go into the breakdown. Here's what it says. It says, give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Wow, what a great way to open up the show. Here's the bottom line to this text. God doesn't take pleasure in wickedness. How shall we say that in a couple other ways or a couple other phrases? God doesn't take pleasure in wickedness. Let me say that differently so you can get this really clear. God doesn't take pleasure in wickedness. It's not something he likes. The boastful will never stand before him. As we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, it says, no flesh shall boast before him, his presence. There's nobody that's going to brag before God. That's not going to happen. And that's, by the way, wickedness. So everybody that stands in pride of self-accomplishment or their political positions or their cultural positions in such great pride ought to know that from God's perspective, that's not very impressive. However, there is a little bit of an error that we need to correct, and that is simply this. There's a lot of people that say, well, God cannot ever be in the presence of any kind of evil. Let me explain to you that particular statement, when the Lord doesn't like to dwell with evil, that one thing is not the same as the other. So, for example, when Satan accuses Job, or when Satan is seen in the book of Revelation in chapter 12 as being at the throne making accusation, you cannot say that evil is not anywhere around God. He's right there making accusations at the throne of God. In fact, God calls Satan, watch this, calls Satan into a, not a confrontation, but a declaration that his servant Job is fantastic. He goes, hey, Satan, where you been?
I've been roaming to and from the earth. I was like,
Anyway, and then God goes, look at this. This guy's great. Isn't he great? So there is engagement there. The difference between those statements, though, is it's not that God never sees evil or never understands evil or never has evil anywhere around him. He doesn't dwell there. In other words, Satan can visit, but he can't stay. That's a nice way to put it. You know, when God visited Adam and Eve, they were what? When the presence of the Lord came into the garden, they were what? Sinners. What happened? Okay, well, now you've kind of ruined our relationship. So we're going to, it's not that God can't, it's that he doesn't dwell with the wicked. He won't hang out. He won't encamp there. And so one of the reasons why we need to be justified, listen, this is very, very, very important. One of the reasons that we need to be justified is because God wants to hang out with us for all eternity, but if there's evil in you and I, he can't dwell with us. So we need to have a justification that exceeds our sinful justification, one that is so righteous it's on the same power of God. That would be a righteousness that God gives us through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Evil can't dwell with God, which means hanging out for an exceeding long time. That's what dwell means, which explains why his righteousness is needed for us to spend eternity with him. Okay? It's not that God never sees evil or doesn't have evil in front of him. Take a look at the earth. It's like there's a lot of evil around here, isn't there? And Jesus was went through the temptation. Now, you might not think of this way, but Jesus is God. And some people that say he's not God don't even understand Christianity at all. And Jesus and Satan had an interesting confrontation, didn't they? So it's not that evil can never dwell there. In fact, what happens is when Jesus encountered a person with a demonic spirit, the demonic spirit would go, ah, and then Jesus would go, yeah, okay, that's enough, get out. And they would go. It's the dwelling part that you need to understand. And God's not going to hang out with evil. So in the text from the psalm, he says, you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. It's not going to live there. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. People that brag all about themselves, you hate all the workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehoods. God really doesn't like lying. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. That's the first time in the church God went, bing! Why? Well, because they were being hypocritical, lying about who they were instead of just being themselves. And then the Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Twice, falsehood and deceitful man. God really doesn't like that. The deceitful. Get it? Okay. All right. Get it? All right. That's why we need, though, the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ on us so we can engage and dwell and hang out with God. Does that make sense? I hope so. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind, destroying
everyone and everything we find. The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
A big portion of being guided is asking, prayer, when you're praying with people, fellowship amongst other people can lead you to guidance. It's happened on more than one occasion for me. Counsel is obviously very good, both spiritual and not necessarily biblical. Also, practical counsel is good. Circumstances often speak to us and give us guidance. Open doors, or for that fact, closed doors. We know his word gives us guidance. We know in 2 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, Paul said that he used peace of mind as an aspect of guidance. These are all the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. Is, of course, the number one element for guidance is to be led by the Spirit, right? These are all hugely important.
The David Spoon Experience on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, I'm going to do a trivia question, but I'm going to have to give you a couple of hints, maybe a hint or two. Here is the trivia question. To which woman did Jesus say, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering"? Here's your key. It's not the woman who was bent over for 18 years. That's Elle's saying, don't give any hints. Okay. I'll let you guys figure it out. Okay. That's all yours. Which of the women did Jesus say, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. One of my favorite stories. I'll tell you why afterwards. If you think you know the answer, you can call in at 972-445-0770. And you can also text in 214-210-8483. Plus, you can email David at hemustincrease.org. Somebody's already calling in. Ready? Are they ready to answer? Boy, we're just not even finishing my sentence. Okay. All right, let's fire away. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, you're talking to Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. I love talking to you. Hi. You're great. All right. Now, this is a good one because there's a lot connected to this. So I'll ask it, and then you answer, and then we'll go from there. To which woman did Jesus say, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering"?
Was that the woman at the well?
No, that's a very good guess, but let me help you out. This woman had a 12-year problem.
Oh, okay. The one that had the bleeding.
That is correct. There it is. And why this is such a great one, because when he said to her, he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." If you go into the text and read it, you find out that the woman was healed when she touched Jesus. But that's the woman that you hear about in some of the fills that I do, where Jesus brought her up socially and then pronounced her clean in front of the crowd. So he did not just heal her physically. He healed her emotionally and publicly right there on the spot.
Okay, yes, all righty. Yeah, well, that's great.
Yeah, I know. See, Jesus doesn't just do a little. He does everything. And that's one of the best ones there is. I love that one. So good job, but you
no
got
doubt,
there.
No
so, soon as I said that, you were like, "Oh wait, that's it. That the lady with the bleeding. That's the one."
Good. Yeah.
Good job.
Well, thanks. You have a good day.
All right, you too. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye bye.
Bye bye. All right. Okay. Great way to start the show, or a great way to go into the second segment. I can't believe the show's already almost a third over. Let's do our DNA real fast. Don't forget DNA, because I want you to remember all the time that this is what you're made of when you wake up and face every day. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Daily. Daily. I cannot say that enough. We don't live in Chicago. We don't have a mayor named Daily. That doesn't matter. It's daily. That's what you got to remember. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. Even if you don't understand all of it, he's a little smarter. So there's infinite, and we're finite. And if you notice, we don't always catch everything. And then A, always be ready to
serve,
which is one of the things that we forget, is that Jesus, he declared in the gospel, "I have not come to be served, but to serve." It's like, nah, if that's good for the Lord, then it's good for us, right? That's right. Okay. That's that. We covered that. I gave you guys the lotto numbers. Okay, good. All right, so let's get into the next little I can't repeat them. I'm sorry. Let's get into the next little portion on this Psalm 5 element where it mentions in verse 6. It says, but as for me, remember he was just talking about wickedness, and God doesn't like wickedness, and evil doesn't dwell with God, doesn't hang out with God. And then David says this, but as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies. Make your ways straight before my face. So in this text, there is there's just so many cool things. But in Psalm 5, you get this contrast, the way that David wrote it. Remember that these are songs. And if you think about a song, usually there's like the first segment, the verses, and then it goes into a chorus and so on and so forth. David, in this particular song, breaks it up in three parts. He's like, okay, hear me, hear me, hear me. That's his first part. The second part is, okay, you don't like people that are bad. Okay, and then third, he's like, help me, help me, help me. So that's the third part. So David says, as for me, you know, like in my life here, I'm going to come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. The one thing that I think people think about when they come into the house of God is they think that depending on your preacher, depending on your teacher, and maybe even depending on your denominations, you think when you're going in there on Sunday, that's where you're going to get like a spiritual whooping. It's like, that's not really the idea behind the house of God. There's not anything incorrect about us being spiritually disciplined when we're out of sync. There's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, the Lord disciplines us, and that discipline is, according to Hebrews 12, a manifestation of his love, which is why you can't use the word love as the world defines it. You have to use love as God defines it. God's definition of love is different than the world's definition of love. But David says, as for me, I came into your house in the multitude of your mercy. You come to the house of God, you know what you're coming there for? Because that's where the relief, the grace, the mercy, the kindness, the forgiveness, and the healing is. That's where you're coming. You're not coming there for somebody to take a 2x4 and whack you on the head. The Holy Spirit does that all day long. How could you do that? You walk by something, or you read something in a newspaper. Do they still have newspapers? Oh, yeah, they do. And then they have on the internet or something, and then you think, boy, if I was talking to that person, I'd tell them this and this and this. And you get it caught up in all these, like, goofy wars, and they're not real. Okay, I mean, they're real in your mind because the enemy makes them that way. But the reality check is you come to the house of God and you go, help me. What is it we've talked about this before, what is it that God demonstrated as a witness in the law that once a year on Yom Kippur, the high priest goes into what? The very presence of God. For what? Forgiveness for the people. Just think of that testimony God gives. Instead of running from God like Adam and Eve did, we are supposed to run to God so we can find help. Now, isn't that different? That's like, oh, wait. So in his house, there's mercies. And then he says, in fear, I will worship you. That's the fear that's reverent or awe. That's not the tremble fear. That's the awe. I'm inspired. I'm reverent. I'm impressed. Wowzer kind of worship. And then he says, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. I got a lot of people redirecting me, trying to get me to do this, trying to get me to do this. That happens all the time. But then he says this last line in this segment that we're talking about, and it's my favorite. He says, make your way straight before my face. And you know what he's saying when he says, make your way straight before my face? He's saying, I want what you want. I just think these are the coolest things. Make your way straight. In other words, I'm going to walk, and there's going to be multiple paths I can take. I need yours to be the one that's right in front of me. Any kind of floodlights you want to drop on there, that's cool. Any neon signs, any fluorescent arrows pointing that way, because I need your way to be straight before my face so I don't make stupid decisions or stupid conclusions. I want what you want, God. That's what I want. It's a wonderful understanding that David has moved from this. You know, there's all these people and they're bad, but you know what? I don't want that. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to be doing what you want me to do. I need you to lead me. I need you to make my decisions. So if you look in this, by the way, he talks about coming into the house of the Lord. He talks about worshiping at the holy temple. And then twice he says, lead me, O Lord. And then he says, make your way straight before my face. Twice he's saying, I need your direction. That's what I need. And I will point out, and some of you will not like this, but I love you, that he does make mention that this leading, this directiveness comes connected to being connected to his temple. In other words, loner Christianity is impossible to support because you can't love your neighbor as you love yourself if you're all alone. You can't love your brother. You can't be a witness for Christ. You can't fulfill the gifts calling that you have. You can't support the body from a distance. You got to be a part of it. And so he's like, I'm in the temple. I'm in the house of God. Now that I'm here, lead me, make sure my paths are straight and make sure my paths are good. This is probably a good moment for me just to share. So I've been working on my book. As you guys know, I'm going to do a re-release. It's going to be free. I'll give you all the information. It's coming. I'm going to be sending Bill M. the copy. I think we'll have it in the next like 2 days. It's going to be a free book. And the whole premise is for some of you out there who have been wounded by church fellowship, and I have too. And you're still coming to the realization, I need fellowship. I need people of God. How do I trust again? And that's what the book is about. The idea is that sometimes the Lord allows things in our lives that really shake our mind, but that also give us better insight to help minister to others. The one thing I figured out is that all the stuff that I went through that I thought was just horrible and terrible and evil and this and that, whatever, is the very thing that God has used me in to minister to more people in than almost anything that there is. Okay? I mean, just think about that. So the thing that I hated and despised is the very thing that God uses to have me help others. Yeah, he's a lot, isn't it? He's a lot smarter than we are, isn't he? Isn't that just the way it is? It certainly is. Thank you very much. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
I am such a sinner. Not just a sinner. I am such a sinner. I'm like the biggest sinner ever. That's how I felt. And then it was the understanding that God really cared about me. And therein lies the key. Because God did care. He does care. And it's the same for you. You're listening to me. He does care. And that pain you're going through, it makes him weep. And you might say, well, you can't back that up spiritually or scripturally. Yes, I can. John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept, not for Lazarus. Lazarus was getting up in 5 minutes, but all the grief and the pain around him. Come on. God has a heart. His heart's bigger than your heart. So here's part of the things that I mean, I'm skipping light years. I'm just going past it. But it's like when that guy started crying and I started getting mad, and then he said it was, this is how the Lord feels for you, and this is the Lord's heart for you. It just showed me I'm so hard hearted. I'm like a rock, but not in a good way. You know, I'm like a dumb rock. Like, oh man, what's the matter with me? And so you know what he did when he was done doing that? Because now I'm gone, right? Because now, how do you think after that happens, how do you think I feel? Okay. So now I'm like, please pray for me. That's right. Because I'm just lost. And he prays for me. And it's powerful. It's like, you know, it's unbelievable. It's just really, very, really powerful. Here's the thing that leads up to it. Now, ready? Because and that is the powerful point, especially when he cried. But it turns out that I went to that church for a little while. You want to hear something absolutely, positively, mind-blowing, amazing? 3 months later, on a Sunday night, I was preaching in that church.
and I was preaching Romans 1:16, the very first thing I ever taught in my life, in that church, in Pastor David Huntsworth Church, Abundant Life in Dillon, Colorado. And I'll tell you one thing that I hope you really hear, and that is that one experience so affected me, I was never the same person again. It just showed me that God really does care. We're pretty hard-hearted. Yeah, we're kind of, we're mushuggy from time to time. Not God. He's totally awesome.